This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's our preview day today for the 49ers, a 13-4 team, and a team that had Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, starting at quarterback late in the season. After all these injuries started to pile up, they lost Trey Lance, they lost Jimmy Garoppolo. Here comes Brock Purdy. Nobody knew who he was, and then everybody knew who he was, and he became an instant star. And he was winning games and winning games and winning games. And they got to the playoffs, and he continued to win more games and more games. Why? Because the 49ers offense looks like a fantasy football team. That's why. Because everybody on the offense is a weapon. And Kyle Shanahan knows what to do with quarterbacks. But what happens when you have no more quarterbacks? That's what happened to them in their NFC title game, where Brock Purdy hurt his elbow. And then they brought in a quarterback again, an unknown guy coming in, playing quarterback until Purdy just went in to hand the ball off. And at that point, they were toast. But now, a UCL injury, which you don't see a lot with quarterbacks, has been repaired. And restrictions have been reportedly off this training camp at a time where people didn't know if Brock Purdy was even going to play at the beginning of the season. He is now in training camp. And the 49ers still have a fantasy football-level offense, where the names are just, you know, pop off the board in terms of weapons around them. It is a weak NFC this year, and it is a team that should go to the playoffs. Will they win a Super Bowl? Who knows? I mean, you get to the postseason, who knows? Teams are standing, who's hurt, who's not hurt. This team is injury prone. You know, Nick Bosa gets hurt on the defensive side. You've got George Kittle gets hurt on the offensive side. I'm sure one of these quarterbacks is going down at some point. I don't know if Sam Darnold is going to start a game, but it wouldn't blow me away. I'm sure maybe Debo Samuel will miss a game or two because of injury. But nevertheless, it is a loaded football team. But Trey Lance was supposed to be the future of this team, not Brock Purdy. You don't draft a quarterback on the last pick of the draft to have him be your franchise QB. That was supposed to be Trey Lance. But Lance had a bad, bad preseason game. And not only did he have a bad preseason game, quarterbacks do all the time. It's preseason game number one. Starters, yeah, like legitimate starters have bad preseason games. And Lance had a preseason game in which people went, I don't know about this. He doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't look ready to throw. He's not reading very well. He got lucky on his touchdown pass because it ricocheted into the arms of one of his tight end instead of going. It should have been intercepted, but Ross Dwelley was just right there to get the ricochet. But if you think about we talked about this with rookie quarterbacks yesterday. Look, if I get a quarterback and I draft him in the first round or I move up to get him, I'm of the mindset that that's the guy you start. And as I said yesterday, I hear all the arguments. I get it. But if I was to choose, if I was a head coach, I would choose starting my QB right away. I could lose him. I could ruin his confidence. But I hope I did enough homework to know the kind of person that I'm getting, where if he gets rattled, he's not going to get lost. He's going to find a way to be good in a new league, in a new game speed. I'm hoping that I've done enough homework on this individual that his talent will eventually catch up to where his mind is in terms of looking and seeing a new way of playing football at the highest level. But think about Trey Lance's mindset for a second. Think about this. The 49ers move up to get him. They trade picks to get him. They get him. They had Jimmy Garoppolo, but, you know, he's throwing eight times a game. They move to get Trey Lance, and he's the franchise guy. And immediately he gets hurt. Immediately. He doesn't get hardly any playing time as the starting quarterback, as the franchise quarterback that he knows he is. Because you just don't take a guy that high in the draft and not put him as the franchise quarterback, right? Then he is hurt. Garoppolo plays. Well, that's okay because he's replacing Garoppolo, right? So it's all good. That's it. Garoppolo's the backup. Backups play when the starters are hurt. But then Garoppolo gets hurt. And Brock Purdy, who didn't get the bright lights and the show and the Roger Goodell jersey and the hug and all the media attention and the primetime exposure. No, Brock Purdy was picked last when they were cleaning up the stage, when everybody was leaving, when the televisions across the country were being turned off, when everyone else was doing just whatever it is they were doing on a Saturday. They were just cleaning it up. And Brock Purdy selected. And so he starts. And again, if you're Trey Lance, you're probably thinking, well, this is what we're down to. So why not? No harm, no foul. Third string quarterback starting. All right, that's what we're down to. But then the wins start coming. And he starts looking really good. He's just not handing the ball off to Christian McCaffrey. He's just not throwing short little passes to Deebo Samuel. You know who he's connecting with? George Kittle. Every game, Brock Purdy is finding George Kittle for a touchdown. He's throwing it down the middle. He's in rhythm with the Kyle Shanahan offense. The weapons are working. They're winning every game they play. The city is on fire for Brock Purdy. People are starting to research Brock Purdy because nobody knew where he was. So all of a sudden you go from, man, I was walking on a stage giving Roger Goodell a hug, getting my jersey, and I'm the franchise guy, and in a blink of an eye, I lost that job. I lost that title to a guy that was picked last, the last pick in the draft, and I got hurt. I didn't lose it in competition. I didn't lose it in camp. I didn't lose it because I played five games and we were 0-5 or 1-4 with the only win being a 16-13 field goal fest. I lost the job because this guy was really good. And with some reason, when we got here, he got it. He got the information right away. That to me is got to be the hardest pill to swallow. Drew Bledsoe had this problem in New England. Drew Bledsoe was Robert Kraft's guy. Now, believe me, I'm not making a Purdy-Brady comparison, so hold on. But Bledsoe had the problem of being really the franchise quarterback. He'd gotten him to a Super Bowl. They lost to Green Bay, but he got him to a Super Bowl. He got the big money. Who is this kid from Michigan? I mean, who is this guy that is not a Heisman Trophy candidate? And the Patriots kept winning and winning and winning and winning, and the rest is history. Because sometimes that happens. Now, I've said many times on this show, I hate when we take Tom Brady's story and we compare it to other quarterbacks, and immediately people say, you can't compare him to Tom Brady. But I can compare the story. Because the story, while not, it doesn't lead to seven Super Bowl championships and the greatest of all time label, and all of those things, 20-plus year career, it doesn't necessarily lead to that. But we've seen this league do this a lot. We've seen this league do this a lot. Where you have a guy, and he's it, and he's the one that's featured. He's the one that everybody wants to interview. He's the young guy that's going to be, and then it doesn't work. Something occurs and it doesn't work. And that's what happened with Trey Lance. In 1 year, he went from the franchise quarterback of this football team to not being able to understand Kyle Shanahan's offense enough to be a quarterback on this football team. That's how far he fell. And tell me how many games he played. Oh, what? A preseason game? We're going to be making this assessment in a preseason game? It's really crazy that in all of that time that he has been on this football team, all of this time that Trey Lance has been trying to establish himself with the 49ers since being drafted, the third overall pick in round one, he couldn't do it. And now they're talking about trading him. Now they're talking about he's got to find another home. Because the 49ers have their QB in Brock Purdy. because sometimes that just happens, right? We look at New England, Mac Jones going into his third year. He could lose his job legitimately to Bailey Zappe, a kid from Western Kentucky. He could. In fact, there are people in New England who are calling for it right now. But that's a lot of August talk, I'll be honest with you. That's usually a lot of, well, we could just go over the same stuff every single day leading up to the regular season, analyzing training camp tapes, or we can have a legitimate debate about something that maybe not be debatable. But there are people in New England that are saying Bailey Zappe is a better option. That's this league. When Anthony Richardson got tabbed to be the starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, Shane Steichen said, the future's today. Right? Just like Frank Reich did in Carolina, just like D'Amico Ryans did in Houston, you draft these guys in the first round, you might as well start them right now. Sometimes coaches don't do that, but sometimes they do. But how much are you committed to them if out of nowhere, the fourth guy on your roster, the fourth guy on your depth chart, is throwing lasers, seems to be the guy with the first answer in the quarterback room, and all of a sudden gets an opportunity, however he gets that opportunity, and he lights everybody on fire? You get your opportunities in this league, and they're very, very, the window is very, very short. And Brock Purdy opened it. Not only did he open the window, he cleaned it, he put on some nice drapes, maybe got a little tint on it. And he really has solidified himself. He is a starting quarterback in his second season of a team that is expected to go to the Super Bowl. Not a lot of quarterbacks can say that. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Philip on Twitter, on X. Miami thanks San Francisco for those picks too, by the way. Yeah, very true.
Yeah,
very
you true. Made that
so
okay.
So I looked it up. So Trey Lance's rookie season, he had three games in which he threw the ball in considerable amounts. So he had including the final game of the season, but he had three in which he attempted over five passes. He played in six games, carried the ball a few times, did that thing where he came in to run the ball.
Yeah.
But he had three games in his rookie season where he actually played quarterback significantly, 23 pass attempts, 29 and 18. Then in 2002, we know what happened last year. He came in for, he played the opening game against the Bears and then was hurt in the game against Seattle in week two. So he, and that was very quick. So basically four games Trey Lance has played for the 49ers in two seasons, has never established him, could never establish himself. And now what, he can't play for them anymore? That's it? He's done?
Well, I mean, you know, they tried him out in preseason and were like, oh God.
He really was bad. He really was really terrible.
I mean, the only saving grace for Trey Lance now is that he won't go down as the biggest bust in NFL history.
Yeah. No. But he may not bust out. He might go to another team that's not a Kyle Shanahan-run team.
Maybe.
And be okay.
He very well could become a journeyman, right?
Right. He could be. But he's not Ryan Leaf.
No. I'm going to give Ryan Leaf credit. The biggest bust to me is Jamarcus Russell.
Russell was terrible.
He was number one overall.
Yeah, he was number one overall, and he barely lasted.
He took the crown from Ryan Leaf. How about that?
Yeah. But nevertheless, it's bad for Trey Lance. But what are you going to do? Like if you're Kyle Shanahan, here's what I was saying at the time of the draft. I was saying like, okay, they just went to the Super Bowl. They just realized that Jimmy Garoppolo is not the long-term quarterback answer for them to consistently go to the Super Bowl. Like they were playing a team in the Super Bowl that had that guy in Patrick Mahomes, right? Like Kyle Shanahan could look across the sidelines of that Super Bowl and go, they have a guy that will consistently put them in this game, or at least consistently give them a chance to be in this game. I don't think my guy has that. I think if I'm limiting my guy in throwing the football, then I'm not going to be able to get to this game consistently. So when they went into the 2021 draft, they drafted Trey Lance because they were like, I need that over there. And they didn't have it. And now here we are going, He can't even play in a Kyle Shanahan offense. He might not even be able to play in this league. What an amazing drop-off.
I mean, he's probably not even going to be the backup.
Right? They like Sam Darnold better than they do.
You know, honestly, I would go with Sam Darnold over Trey Lance because at least Sam Darnold has shown something on the field,
right?
You know, in the NFL.
And here's the other problem that Lance has. So now you've got Brock Purdy coming back from an elbow injury. Now, they're going to use Brock Purdy in preseason, limited, but they're going to use him because they need him to get ready. Like he's got to get into some game reps. Not a lot, but if you're Kyle Shanahan and you go, okay, I gotta set my depth chart. I know who my QB1 is. That's Brock Purdy. So when we go play, I forget who they're playing this weekend, but when we go play this game, we're gonna have Brock Purdy play a couple of reps and get himself to speed. Then I'm gonna use Sam Darnold, who played better in the Vegas game. Played better. I gotta use him. And then what? Trey Lance gets mop up duty. Like now he can't really show other things. Now he can't because he's going up against third, fourth string defenses, and that's not going to be a proper valuation. Well, no, so he's falling down quickly.
Hold on. He can't show something.
Well, yeah.
Negatively.
Release the football. Oh, negatively.
No, negatively.
How about releasing the football on time?
Well, maybe that. But maybe I'm just saying, if he can't do it against third and fourth string guys, sorry, I mean, you're going to get cut.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to feel too bad for him because I had to look it up to see. After he was drafted, he signed a 4-year rookie contract worth $34.1 million.
Yeah, that is true.
You're not going to feel too bad.
Nope, you do get the big money in the first round.
Yeah.
They're playing Denver, by the way, coming up this weekend. So
he's not. No, he might. Maybe he will.
No, whatever. Yeah. So that's our preview team, the San Francisco 49ers. So, and again, a team that if you were to pick three teams that should go to the Super Bowl, they're right there.
Easily. Right?
Easily loaded, unbelievably loaded offense.
I think if you pick two teams to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC, I think they're the other one.
Yeah. Now, there's always a surprise. Is there going to be a surprise this year? There's always one team
always.
That you're like, whoa, look at that. How about that? How about you, Seattle Seahawks, making the postseason?
One of the things, and this is my algorithm now that's popping up on TikTok, is people posting their predictions.
Right.
And this one popped up, and I was like, I don't hate it. You know, and I'll just tell you what the top four seeds were, okay? And one of them is the surprise team that, I think could be there. The number four team were the Saints.
Right.
I think that's fine. The 2-1, and he said these are pretty much interchangeable, were Eagles and Niners.
Okay.
I don't hate that one either. It was the number three seed that I was like, okay, it's not really a surprise, but it is just because, given the recent history, and that's Detroit Lions.
Yeah, sure. Detroit. Everyone's loving Detroit.
I mean,
everyone's
given the recent
Detroit.
History, can you picture them the NFC North champs?
Yeah.
It's very likely that'll
happen.
it's just hard to say out loud.
But you can't, obviously you and I have fun every single year before the season. We do predictions and then we store them and then we bring them out and we're like, wow, wrong.
We were oh so close last year.
Yeah, I think last year I loved the Rams.
Yep.
To go to the NFC title game.
I still have last year's. I'm looking them up real quick.
I think I picked Dallas to win the
you
win
had,
the
you
East.
Had, yeah, the Cowboys to win the East. You had the Rams to win the West. I also had the Rams to win the West. I did pick the Eagles to win the East, so I was good on that one.
You were good on that one. So it just goes to show you.
I think it was the AFC where you and I it was laughable.
I kind of blew up.
Yeah.
So, but that happens.
You
like Jacksonville.
Both.
Jacksonville was the surprise team last year in the AFC.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, look, we expected
but they
them
shouldn't
to be
have
better.
Been. They should. I don't think, in hindsight, hindsight's 20/20. I don't think they should have been the surprise team.
No,
you got
but
a great quarterback who just needed a good coach, and he finally got one, and the two of them were able to figure things out.
Yes, but they weren't exactly loaded offensively with a whole bunch of really good players around Trevor Lawrence. But I was surprised by Tennessee losing seven games in a row.
Yeah, that. By the way, that was your nice pick to win AFC
South.
Tennessee? Yeah.
Yeah. Because who else is going to win the AFC South?
No.
But
this year will be the Texans if they win the AFC South.
That's what pops up. And but look, in all kidding aside, this 49ers team, again, you could create a fantasy team, and this team is as good.
No, I love that line. I loved what you said.
It's a fantasy football team.
It's a fantasy football team.
I mean,
listen, one team.
Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle. I mean, what are we talking about here? This is nuts.
Yeah.
Juwan Jennings. It's crazy.
There's not enough space for all of them to be Pro Bowlers.
Right?
And if then they were all on different teams, they'd all make the Pro Bowl every year.
And then you could take their defense, and you would have one of the top defenses in the NFL. And again, we'll see what that defense looks like now that Steve Wilkes is running it and not D'Amico Ryans. But D'Amico Ryans was taken over for Robert Saleh. Like, it's a machine. When you've got Bosa and Fred Warner, like, it's a machine.
Yeah, also on offense,
Hargrave, he's great.
I don't want you to forget on offense, Kyle Jusek.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Kyle Jusek.
The only traditional fullback left in the league.
I love Kyle Jusek, yeah. That's true. That is a good point.
And you have Trent Williams at left tackle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, their offensive line is
yeah,
solid.
It's a good offensive line.
Yeah.
Yeah, then, like you said, on defense, I mean, it's a who's who.
You know who the Niners took in the third round of the draft? A kicker!
Yeah.
Like, they're probably going, him. What else do we need? Kicker. Just take him.
Is that Jake Moody?
Jake Moody out of Michigan was their kicker. The kicker they picked in the third round.
They needed a kicker.
So the 49ers, man, just fun.
Yeah, no, they're going to be that's going to be a fun team.
You remember when Christian McCaffrey got traded to them and was like, "What?
Why?"
Remember?
Like, why do they need him?
I think I was in Texas. I think I was going to the U.S. Grand Prix when that news was breaking.
It may be.
I think it was around middle October. I'm not sure, but I feel like I was in a hotel room, and the only time I can remember being in a hotel room was when I was going to Austin for that race. I went, "What?"
Yeah.
They did what? He's really?
And practically for nothing.
Like, are you kidding me? He's going to go to the Niners? Is there enough footballs to go around to everybody that needs them? Are they going to throw three a play to make sure everybody gets their touches? How is this? I was like, this is unfair. The league should stop this.
But yeah, where's the commissioner who comes down and goes?
Oh no, 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 you know, no, where, no.
Where's
no.
Where's the David Stern?
Yeah,
you know, blocking a trade because like, oh no, no, we can't have Chris Paul going to the Lakers.
No, we are not putting Christian McCaffrey on a team that is as loaded as the 49ers. Like, that is not happening.
Did someone go to him already and go, "You already have a running back / wide receiver in Deebo Samuel.
Why do you need another? Golly. It's like Tiger Woods putting trophies on the shelf. I guess I got to build a new shelf. Right? That was the Niners.
Yeah. You know, real quick, you know what they got Christian McCaffrey for, too, is a 2023 third and fourth round pick and a 2024 fifth round.
Yeah, that's right.
He's worth a first round.
Yeah, I thought so, too. All right, we'll continue. I've got to touch up on the story we talked about yesterday. More to the drama, Michael Orr and the Tuies when we come back.
Is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us again on Twitter or X, however you want to say it, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Are we going to eventually have to start paying for this?
Paying for X?
To even use this thing?
Well, you know. Yeah, often you got to pay for X.
I know. I mean, yeah, right? I really don't like the fact that it shows up as X Pro as a tab on my computer. I really, really don't like that at all.
Honey, what are you doing?
I don't need any explaining to do.
Man, every once in a while you get that algorithm where that's that one spot pops up that shows a hot blonde and you're like, no.
Yeah, no.
That's an NFL reporter, dear.
That is right. That is right. Yeah. Like I tried to use the deck today and they were like, no, it's $84 a month.
I don't get it.
$84 a year to use the deck.
Why?
Yeah.
I mean,
recouping on the money he paid for this thing?
Is it hurting that much? I mean, you know what the problem is that he's made so many changes to it that it's almost becoming impossible to actually use.
Yeah.
Like, Twitter was fine. It wasn't broken.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Like, invest your money and just watch it multiply. Unless, I don't know. He's a businessman. He knows what he's doing, apparently.
All right, so yesterday we gave you the story of the Michael Orr and the Tui family that was immortalized in the movie The Blind Side.
Yep.
And now Michael Orr is filed I don't know what the legal term is, but he filed something at the Shelby County legal team about the conservatorship that Sean and Leanne Tui put out. And then he says that he didn't get any share of the movie. His family totally profited off this. And so the Tuies have gone, okay, if we're going to play this game, let's play this game. And so they have put out a statement saying that that he threatened them and saying that he would plant negative stories about them in the press unless they paid him $15 million. So that's now, this is a sad story. This is now a sad story. So now they're saying that they're, quote unquote, adopted son, because they claim, like, even though we couldn't adopt him because he was 18, he's still our adopted son, tried to shake them down for $15 million. There needs to be another movie about this.
Yes.
Apparently. Now somebody should seriously make another movie about this where you go into the movie The Blind Side and how it was all fake. You know? Like do one of those.
Sandra Bullock reprise her role. Should we get Oscar ready?
You know what would be cool is if Sandra Bullock was in the movie as Sandra Bullock playing Leanne Tuohy.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, where they were saying, yeah, we want you to do this. We want you to do that. Like, she's trying to do it one way, but the Tuohys are like, no, it's more like this.
She could save face immediately going, like, why is this babe go so crazy?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Where she looks at the director and she goes, you really want me to say that line? That doesn't sound like something a loving mother would say. Yeah.
Do women in the South really dictate what goes on a football field? I feel that's not – I'm from Texas.
Yeah, I feel like the smartest person on the football field is not the mother of the player. It's usually the guys who've spent their whole life learning the sport. She's really teaching the coach that a left tackle should be doing this? Like, that would be a good part of the movie, of this new movie you and I are creating on the downfall of the Michael Orr, Leanne, and Sean Tuohy relationship. A shakedown? What are we talking about here?
Shakedown for $15 million.
$15 million shakedown?
Here's the problem I have with this, all right, is that Michael Orr doesn't need it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know everyone always needs more money, but I had to look it up. His net worth is around $22 million.
Yeah, what does he want another 15 for?
Unless,
of course, it just bothers you.
I mean, maybe, but... right?
Okay, it's like when you... Okay, it's like when you lend your friend money that you can afford to give him, but it bothers you that he never paid it back, right? And I've never lent my friend any significant amount of money where this would be a problem, but I know people who have, where they're like, look, a buddy of mine, he was down on his luck, and my wife and I gave him $1,000. And we told him, hey, pay us back whenever. You know, we just want to help you keep your house. And then, like, a year later, he's buying a lawnmower, and they went to Disney World. And, like, you could totally afford it. You didn't lose it. But it just bothers you that he took that money, got on his feet, and just kind of – maybe it's one of those things, like, where he's like, look, I made my money, but – they made money off my movie. Like, they made money off my story, and I didn't get a cut of that. Like, why wouldn't they give me a cut of that?
I mean, that would bother me, but, I mean, I think it's a fun number to say $15 million.
Right.
I mean, even with the reports coming out that they only made, what, like, $300,000 or something like that?
Yeah. Now, is he doing that thing where he's like, what was it, Latrell Sprewell? Well, we make a lot of money, but we spend a lot of money, too.
Yeah.
Is he doing that?
I don't think so. I know.
Look, I made $22 million, but, listen, I had some investments go bad. Some people took my money. I'm not as rich as you think. This company got a cut. I get 30% of this. So I'm not really sitting pretty after a full NFL career here. Maybe it's that. I mean, we don't know.
Hey, maybe. I have no idea.
Plenty of football. I mean, athletes go broke all the time.
All the time.
All the time. Did a whole documentary on it called Broke.
Yeah, they can't stop spending the money because, you know, the checks were coming once a week.
You remember Bernie Kosar's story? It's horrible. Bernie Kosar made all that money. I think his dad took it all or something. He's like, man, it's crazy. Like, one minute you're going out buying Rolex watches, the next minute you're like, I have $28 in my checking account? How did that happen? So maybe that's the case. I don't know. Because, again, when you have it and you're used to a certain lifestyle, and then all of a sudden, like, again, like, investments go bad or somebody swindles you out of stuff, and before you know it, it's gone, you're probably like, yeah, I'll take $15 million. But now this story is getting ridiculous. Like, literally, you cannot watch The Blind Side anymore.
No.
Like, now you can't watch it. Like it's not based on anything, apparently, according to both sides.
It's just a Hollywood fairy tale.
They hate each other now, no matter what they say in the press.
Put it up there with the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
Sandlot.
It's a phony story.
What are some other what's a football movie that's not real? Varsity Blues? That's not real.
Yeah, Varsity Blues is not real. How about Rudy? Because Rudy ain't real either. Sorry.
True, but you know
I had to take a shot at Rudy.
I know.
Like making up stuff. Joe Montana was like, we never protested.
It.
Like anybody that was on that team was like, we never told the coach we wouldn't play unless Rudy was on the team. What is this?
I guess I think the only truthful part is that they did carry him off the field, right?
They did, and he did have a sack. That is real.
And he did have a sack.
He did have a sack.
There's actual game footage of that sack.
There is a sack. So who knows?
But I think he played more than the, I think he played more than the final two plays of the game.
Yeah, and, you know, they kind of found him a little annoying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you think
and
about
it. By the way, another falsehood in that movie, and it bothered him for a long time. Dan Devine was not like, remember in the movie?
Oh, yeah,
He's like, I don't want this guy anywhere near the football field. I don't care if we're up by 20 points with a minute left. He's not playing. Like, he's like, ugh, oh, man. He's like sour. He's being like a sourpuss about the whole thing. No, that wasn't true. Dan Devine was like, no, I support him. I support this. He was a Rudy supporter.
You know, that's one of the fun parts now when you watch it, knowing what we know now. Yeah. Like the coach is like, how about Rudy? No,
no,
no.
Come on, coach. No. Just one play? No, no, no.
Now I'll say it in Spanish for you. No,
no, exactly. He's not getting in. Now this is the Blind Side. The Blind Side is going to go down in history as one of the most phony baloney stories ever put on film.
It's remarkable.
Silly.
And it was such a great
movie.
I mean, it was a good movie. The only thing I hate, and you know, I'll say this out loud: people calling for Sandra Bullock to turn her Oscar in.
I don't get this.
I think it's the Reggie Bush effect. I'm sorry.
You do?
You know, something like that. It's like, hey, he didn't. She didn't earn it. So she needs to turn the trophy in.
Well, yeah. Why would people say that though? She did earn it. She did what the producer and the director wanted her to do.
Doesn't matter if there's controversy off the field now.
It's not up to Sandra Bullock to know what the true story is between the Tuies and Michael Orr.
She's handed a script.
Yes.
And,
that's all this is.
And honestly, she probably met Leanne Tuohy. She probably never met Michael Orr.
Yeah. She probably did meet Leanne Tuohy to get her mannerisms down and whatnot.
And said, why would she think anything different? Like, you know, Leanne wrote this book. It's based on a true story, we thought at the time.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, the movie's actually based on the book that she wrote.
Yeah.
And so why would you say, you don't have a reason. And we went, 20 years without knowing this?
Yeah, so, it's been a while.
Yeah. But that's why I said it's like Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush deserved and earned that Heisman because of what he did on the field. Right. And that's why he needs to get that trophy back.
To me, I've always said this. If you want to suspend him, fine. If you want to say whatever, you can do whatever you want with him. There was a rule at the time. It was broken. But the Heisman, I always thought, was a little separate from all that. And when you got it, the Heisman should say to the NCAA, do what you want to do. That's fine. But in our little club here, we're not taking away Heismans based on what you find years and years later.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're not doing that.
He was the best player that year.
He was the best player that year. You want to say that these like just because you say they don't count doesn't mean we have to say they don't count. We know what we saw. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio again on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Don't forget, all day we'll be touching on the 49ers in a preview of a team that went 13-4 last year.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
Now, Bonte Hill's going to join us hour three from the game in San Francisco, a good friend of ours. I've always liked him. He's very energetic, and he does a morning show out there, so he's giving us some time to preview the 49ers as we continue the NFC West this week. Tomorrow will be the Seahawks. By the way, I'll be off on Friday as I'll attend the memorial of my mother-in-law.
As will I.
And and you as well. You as well.
Not bad. Memorial for my wife's aunt.
Wow. So two of us going to memorials over the weekend. So Celebration of life. Yeah, that's the way we're putting it for my mother-in-law. We are going to a town called Casey, Illinois. And my father-in-law would come visit. And so, you know, He's from Casey, Illinois. Same with my mother-in-law. That's where they were from, and they moved to Florida to just move down there. They liked Florida, so they moved the kids down there when they were young, my wife and my brother-in-law. And but every time we would see him, he would say to me, like, I got to take you to Casey because they've got a rocking chair that's the largest rocking chair in the world. And they've got a golf tee that's the largest golf tee in the world. And I just kind of went, all right. You know what I mean? It's like, you know how, you know, like they're like humor them, you know? So then I decided one day I was sitting in my computer and I was like, you know what? Since we're going there this weekend, let me see what he's talking about. And sure enough, the whole town had this idea. There was one guy just decided, hey, listen, I want to drive some business here. I want people to stop here on their way to Terre Haute, Indiana or St. Louis. I'm going to have them build things. They're going to build big things. So they went, what's the largest mailbox? Guinness Book of World, let's build a larger. So they built a huge mailbox that you can climb stairs in and you can send a letter from the world's largest mailbox. One of those kind of touristy things. Big, huge rocking chair in the center of town. Giant knitting needles in one store. Giant wooden shoes in another store. Giant golf tee at the golf course. So, yeah, the whole point of the guy thing was like, let's find the largest things that we can make and let's just make them. And then our town will be filled with these things. And sure enough, CBS came in and did like a feature on it. So I'm kind of excited this weekend to see this town that I've been hearing about for years and years and years. Every time I see my father-in-law, he would tell me about this town.
I'm looking at the photos right now.
Yeah, they're crazy. Isn't
it? I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I mean, again, I just sort of like humored him. I was like, well, all right, how big could the biggest mailbox be? Whatever. Yeah, well, I'm like, whoa. Like you can walk in that thing.
Yeah.
Like you can sit on the rocking chair like high up. And look at the town.
They also got a pencil, a wind chime.
Yeah, the wind chime. You could actually pull it and like make noise with the wind chime.
You said golf tee. You said mailbox. It looks like there's a poster of all their big things.
Yeah. So
they got a mouse trap.
I'm gonna do the check mark touristy thing. After the celebration.
Well, it looks like it might take you a half hour to see all these things.
It might be. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, you just bounce around to each one of them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like the wooden shoes are in a candy store. Now I feel like I'm getting double duty with that, right? Like I'm gonna walk into a candy store, I'm getting candy, and I might as well see the largest wooden shoes while I'm there.
I guess they have 14 items.
That's crazy.
14 things that they're the largest at.
I'm so looking forward to this now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You got a barbershop pole?
And I think my mother-in-law, looking down on us, would smile because she's like, finally we got him there. Been telling him about it for years. But, you know, it's one of those things where they would say, like, we got to all go to Casey one day. And Casey's like 5 hours, 6 hours from my house. And I kept thinking, when? Like, when are we going to go do that? We're going to come visit? We're just going to drive up there?
I think the other problem, too, is, like, you'd also probably sit there and go, why?
Yeah, why?
Because, you know, I'm looking at it. The population is 2,400 people.
Right, yeah.
So
exactly. Like, my cul-de-sac has more people.
Exactly.
Right?
So that's why I said, I mean, you can go around and see all the largest things. I said, oh, that'll set you back a good half hour.
By the way, I'm not kidding when I tell you this. Across the street from my house is a rather large house that is being rented by young people. I think there's 20 people that live in there. Their cars are all over the place. And it's just, I see a different person every day. Mowing the lawn, outside doing something.
Is it a fraternity or sorority?
I don't know what it is, but I feel like, I told my wife, I said, there's got to be like 20 kids living
you
there.
You could be in a movie.
Right?
Scenario.
I could be. I could be.
That one with us. Oh, get the heck's that actor's name?
I don't.
Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. Him and his wife are like, oh.
They live next door to a fraternity. Exactly. That could be you.
Yeah. So.
Could be you.
So both of us will be off on Friday. I may be off Monday. I know I'm just giving you guys a programming note. There might be some business that we have to attend to that can't be done until Monday when business is open. So my father-in-law might have to do some business. We're like playing it by ear. So we're gonna see what that is. He may be able to get it done over the weekend, but he may have to wait till Monday. I'm the driver. So that's basically my role in all this. My wife's like, you don't mind driving everybody, do you? No, I don't mind. I'll drive
Don't
everybody
you prefer
up.
Prefer to drive?
I much rather prefer. To drive.
I always drive. I prefer to drive. I'm not a good passenger.
No, I'm not either. And my wife though isn't either. So when we go on trips, she'll drive. I'll sit, and we both hate that.
Yeah,
because she hates sitting in the passenger seat, And I hate sitting in the passenger seat.
The only time I've ever given it up was like, you know, it was like, hey, I've worked all day. I've worked all, yeah. You know, got up early in the morning to get into work. We're driving somewhere far. You know, honey, do you want to drive like at least the first leg so I can catch a little cat nap?
That's what I do.
That's about it.
Sometimes I'll be like, I'll be in the back, you two on the front. I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah.
You know, that's about it. But yeah, so I'm going to be the taxi service.
And then for whatever reason, always happens, I wake up and then somebody's like, hey, Dad, I got a photo of you sleeping.
Yeah, I know. Like, I know. Happens all the time.
Thanks.
So we are previewing the 49ers. And so you and I were talking earlier about Christian McCaffrey. And so back in October, he got traded from Carolina to the 49ers. He got traded on the 21st.
For pennies.
For pennies.
Pennies basically. On the dollar, really.
He got paid on the 21st. On the 23rd, they played Kansas City. He played in that game. And they lost. And at that point, they were 3-4. And it was October 23rd. And they did not lose again until the NFC title game.
Yeah.
Like, that's, they went, so they changed quarterbacks. Garoppolo was the quarterback at the time. They changed quarterbacks, and they still won the rest of their games. Garoppolo got hurt. Purdy took over in week 12,
right.
I think it was week 12, or week 13, one of those weeks, where Purdy took over. When Purdy was playing, they won six straight games to close the regular season. They went 13-4. They were 3-4 after that loss to Kansas City. They won 10 straight games to close out the season. 3-4 and won. And McCaffrey wasn't the leading rusher or anything like that. This was Elijah Mitchell, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle. Like, everyone was getting a piece of this. And yet they won 10 in a row, 10 in a row. And then they went into that game against Philadelphia. And I remember thinking, this is the team's going to win the Super Bowl. This is the team's going to the Super Bowl. And Purdy was out.
Probably would have.
I forget who was the quarterback. It was Johnson. I forget his first, Josh Johnson. That's
Josh
right.
Johnson.
Josh Johnson was the quarterback. And he hadn't played in a while or something like that. He got hurt too. And then they go, well, Brock, how bad is that elbow? And they're like, it's pretty bad. Can you hand the ball off? I guess I could hand the ball. Well, that's our new offense. Because throwing isn't an option. And the Eagles were like, no need to have secondary help. Yeah. He can't throw it 2 feet in front of him. So there's no need to cover any wide receivers on a decoy pattern.
And my favorite out of all of that was, Christian McCaffrey's going in a quarterback.
Remember that?
He is the backup.
Yep, that's right. Christian McCaffrey was the backup, was the emergency backup. They brought Purdy back in, and that was it. That was it. They lost 31-7. But now they're going into this season. Purdy's healthy after the elbow surgery. But it is unique. A UCL injury is not a common football injury.
No, because, it was close. I mean, didn't they – wasn't the idea that he was going to flirt with Tommy John?
Tommy John surgery, because, it's a pitcher's injury.
Yeah.
So it's one of those injuries pitchers get that requires Tommy John surgery a lot of the times. And Purdy got it because he got hit in the elbow in that game. And they were like, oh. And now now he's QB1 here in August, middle of August, ready to play this weekend against Denver in a preseason game, taking a few reps. We'll see. So, again, 13-4 last season. Teams should win the division this year, unless Seattle gives them a little bit of a run. But as we talked about earlier this week with the Rams and the Cardinals, those teams got too many pieces and too many things going on to really make a run at a team that loaded. I mean, it's almost disgusting.
It really is. It really is.
When I was a kid, I collected football cards in the late 70s, and I can remember, bragging because I was a young Steeler fan, like, we have Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer and Lynn Swan and John Stallworth and Mike Webster and Jack Lambert and Donnie Shell and Benny Cunningham and Terry Bradshaw and Jack Ham. And I was just listing them all, and I'm like, Mel Blunt. And it was insane. Like, looking at this offense for the 49ers, even on the defense with Bosa and Warner, it's an unbelievable treasure trove of riches that this team has. All right, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb is coming up in hour two. And don't forget, hour three, our good friend Bonte Hill will join us out in San Francisco to preview the Niners. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call.